the Republican Speaker of the Wisconsin Assembly is criticizing the prison overhaul proposed by Governor Tony Evers. It's Wednesday, February 26th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Glad to be back with you on this Wednesday. Coming up on the show today, enrollment at Milwaukee Area Technical College is almost back to pre-pandemic levels. And some Wisconsinites can get their taxes done entirely for free. We'll have the details on how and where. Stay with us.
Morning Edition takes you across this country and around the world with stories that keep you informed and the context to understand what matters. The news comes at you quickly, but we slow it down to examine each story from different angles and give perspective on what might happen next. A brand new day comes with new possibilities and a new edition of Morning Edition from NPR News.
Weekday mornings from 5 to 9 on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss criticized Governor Tony Evers' recent prison overhaul proposal at a Madison event yesterday. Anya Van Wagtendonk was there.
Evers' plan would cost $500 million and ultimately close the notorious Green Bay prison. Evers described his plan as a domino series, with each step dependent on the others to work. Speaking at a WISP politics luncheon, Voss blasted both the proposal and the way that Evers presented it.
They didn't ask to say, let's craft it together. They didn't say, let's see where the give and take is. They said, it's everything in this budget or nothing. That's what Governor Evers basically said on corrections. Well, he's probably going to get very little of what he asked for with the method he's utilizing.
Voss said Republicans support closing Green Bay, but will develop their own approach as they write the state budget. Voss also said Republicans will craft a tax cut that they will try to pass separately from the budget. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Meanwhile, Governor Evers' budget proposal also seeks to strip the state Senate of some of its power to block his political appointees. The proposal would repeal a change that was included in a 2018 lame duck law. It specified that a governor's appointee could not be renominated or serve in a provisional role if rejected by the Senate. Republican Senator Van Wongard of Racine says Evers is trying to remove the Senate's leverage, ensuring appointees do their job and not make things political.
If we don't have that ability to look at somebody and look at their background as objectively and say yay or nay, that person would be right for the position, then advice and consent has no teeth.
Evers has included the lame duck repeal in his previous budget proposals as well. More than 180 Evers appointees are awaiting confirmation by the state Senate. 24 Republican state lawmakers are asking President Donald Trump to weigh in on whether utilities already doing business in Wisconsin should be given first dibs on building new transmission lines. As Joe Schultz reports, they sent a letter to the administration last week.
A bill was recently introduced in Wisconsin's legislature that would give state utilities the right of first refusal to build new high-voltage lines that connect to their existing infrastructure. Dave Murphy is a Republican state representative from Greenville. He signed onto the letter seeking the president's input.
It's an interstate type of issue because these are interstate compacts with the electrical utilities and such that I wanted to make sure that I was getting the federal administration's take.
But the bill has support from Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, as well as the top Republican and Democrat in the state Senate. Similar proposals have failed to pass the last two legislative sessions. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Milwaukee Area Technical College has seen its third straight year of growing enrollment. The school made that announcement yesterday. Like many colleges across the country, there was a drop in attendance at the school during the COVID-19 pandemic. In 2023, it started a direct admit program with Milwaukee Public Schools used by hundreds of applicants. Dr. Anthony Cruz is the president of MATC. He says plenty of students are applying.
So we've seen in the last couple of years a dramatic increase in applications.
But he says not everyone enrolls. This spring, advisors will start contacting new students earlier in the year to talk about registering for fall classes.
To make sure that we are really maximizing the number of students who apply that actually enroll.
He says enrollment is almost back to pre-pandemic levels. Lots of people in Wisconsin are eligible for free help preparing their tax returns. Anna Marie Yanni has the details on those sites across the state.
Eligible Wisconsinites can get free tax help at their local libraries, schools, and community centers. It's part of a longstanding partnership between the Internal Revenue Service and nonprofits around the state.
I feel like just about everybody at some point in their life could benefit.
That's Jessica Safransky-Schott. She helps run sites with United Way of Racine County.
Whether, you know, you're like a new person just starting out after college, working your first real job, or, you know, a family with kids and looking how to get all of the credits that they're entitled to.
The volunteer-run sites sometimes offer services in Spanish. Many are open from now through April 15th. Anna Marie Yanni, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, we've got a story from a live Wisconsin Life storytelling event. Stay with us.
Hey, I'm Elsa Chang from NPR News. I'm proud to work with stations around the country, including Wisconsin Public Radio, to bring you news you can trust. Every day, we do our best to uncover the backstory and ask tough questions, to give voice to the diversity of our nation and share moments of beauty and joy. This comprehensive reporting is possible thanks to listener contributions. Be a part of this important work with your gift to Wisconsin Public Radio at WPR.org.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story about making connections thousands of miles apart.
Sending a message in a bottle has been romanticized for centuries. And as author B.J. Hollers tells us, it helped one Wisconsin veteran connect with humanity on a deeper level. Hollers shared this story at a live Wisconsin Life storytelling event in Eau Claire at the Lakely.
Shortly before midnight on June 28, 1991, 26-year-old Sergeant Ted Simpson gripped a wine bottle, peered out at the Atlantic, and from his place aboard the cargo ship, threw it as far as he could. Whatever happened next was out of his hands. The message he tucked into that bottle was now at the mercy of the waves. Sergeant Simpson, who'd spent the last 3 years serving for the 18th Airborne Corps during the Gulf War, was also at the mercy of the water. Yet after 3 years as a member of a helicopter crew, his last and latest mission seemed the safest way to end his military career and return home to Wisconsin. Ted and the rest of his crew had boarded the cargo ship 23 days before. Their journey from a port in Saudi Arabia to the military ocean terminal near the Statue of Liberty would transport them 10,000 miles in 31 days. However, within a few weeks, boredom set in. It was just the same scene day after day, Ted recently shared from his home in Eau Claire. And so I started to get creative. One evening, Ted glanced up from the book he was reading in the ship's rec room to notice an empty wine bottle. Heck, Ted thought, I should put a message in that bottle. Ted began working on his letter, which included his name, rank, and recent service in Operation Desert Storm. After 3 years of enduring a front row seat to the horrors of war, he was grateful for this final mission to have found a way to serve as an emissary for peace. After he completed his letter, adding his parents' home address in Cedarburg, he tucked it into the bottle and corked it. Yet Ted knew that a cork could hardly withstand an ocean's worth of water. Ted determined that his best bet to preserve his letter would involve dipping the top of the bottle into a thick latex paint of which the ship was never in short supply. At last, the bottle was ready to go. It was a perfect night, Ted later remarked, to send the bottle on its journey. 10 months later, on an April day in 1992, Anne McLennan of the Isle of Harris off the Western Isles of Scotland went for a stroll along the beach near her home. There, she discovered a green bottle with dried paint along the bottle's top. Curious, she took it home, removed the paint, and fished out the letter within. The following October, Ted walked to his mailbox in his home in Racine to find a brown envelope with an airmail sticker forwarded from his parents' address. "Dear Mr. Simpson," the letter began. The letter described how she had discovered the bottle and its message, which was, quote, "found intact and without any dampness." Her letter also included a postcard showing the beach where the bottle was found after traveling 10 months and 2,000 miles. Ted replied, thanking Miss McLennan for her letter, which restored his faith in humanity and provided him with some much-needed closure to his military service. He never heard from her again, though he always wondered what became of her. After a bit of sleuthing, my friend regretfully informed me that Miss McLennan had passed away years before. I informed Ted of the development, and while he lamented the loss, he also expressed gratitude that he and Miss McLennan had the opportunity to cross paths at all, that thanks to an idea and an empty bottle, he was able to find kindness and connection from a stranger half the world away. All these years later, Ted remains grateful that the waves granted the bottle mercy. I did it because I wanted to put some good back into the world, Ted says. Message received. Thanks.
Author BJ Hollers shared that story on A Message in a Bottle at a live storytelling event in Eau Claire at the Lakely. It was hosted by WPR's Wisconsin Life and the Chippewa Valley Writers Guild. To hear the full story, go to wisconsinlife.org or check out the Wisconsin Life podcast. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And finally, a quick check of weather before letting you go today. We'll see a light drizzle across the southern two-thirds of the state today. Still feeling warmer than usual, with high temperatures in the 40s across Wisconsin. Overnight lows in the 20s and 30s, and possibly some light snow in northwestern parts of the state. And that'll do it for this Wednesday. Thanks so much for being here for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Bridget Bowden and John Davis. Big thanks to Mallory Chang for filling in the past few days while I was gone. And as always, thanks to you for listening. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.